We're going to be in Acts chapter 13. You want to start turning there in your copy of God's Word. It put a smile on my face a little bit earlier when she was talking about those bracelets, and all the ladies in the place went, "Oh!" It was just a big across the room. Couldn't help but chuckle a little bit. That is cute. That was cute what they were doing. And Billy told me he taught Lillian everything she knows, so anytime, Doug, you need Billy to do a solo, he'll, okay. He's not in here. I can sign him up. All right, yeah, we're going to be in Acts chapter 13. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 12, if you want to go ahead and turn there. We'll have it on the screen, but if you have your copy of God's Word, go ahead and turn there to Acts chapter 13. It's been many years now since I became a born-again believer in Jesus. I was in my early 20s. I just turned 46 a couple weeks ago. But the Bible tells us when a person is born again that they become a new creation in Christ Jesus, and that the Holy Spirit, at that very moment that they're saved, comes to dwell within the believer. And I believe that. It's to be a helper for them, a guide for them, and a seal that's stamped on their life until the day that the Lord returns, until the day that they're standing before the Lord. And so he's our spiritual helper. And over the years, there's been times where I didn't hear much from the Holy Spirit because my relationship with the Lord was not as intimate as it should have been. And if I look back, it's the times that I was not as obedient as I should have been. The Holy Spirit would tell me something, and I would be rebellious or wouldn't pay much attention. And when you do that, communication is cut off. There have been times as well, though, where the Holy Spirit has been speaking very clearly to me, and where I heard what he was saying, and believe it or not, I actually listened to him. And so when my life is like that, I can hear from the Holy Spirit. But sometimes I wanted to do things my own way. I was like a sheep that didn't want to listen to the shepherd. And so subsequently, communication is interrupted like that. A lot of y'all know my testimony and how when I was finishing up with college, how I was pursuing a job as a game warden, and that the Holy Spirit was clearly telling me that he didn't want me going that direction. But I was the bad sheep that time, and so I kept wanting to do that, and I kept pursuing that, and finally got a job as a game warden. And I didn't know it at that point, but my communication with the Lord was interrupted because of that, because I was not listening. And so I continued that path, even though the Holy Spirit told me, because I wanted to. And there's no other reason. I wanted to do it. I didn't listen. And so there have been a lot of good times, though, like I was talking about. And so if you fast forward 5 years after I didn't listen, the Lord, my communication had gotten back with the Lord. And you know what he was telling me? He still didn't want me doing that. That's what he was telling me. And so he's relentless, I tell you what. So anyway, he was speaking to me, telling me that. That's not what I want for you. But by then, I was ready to listen, okay? And so I began praying what it was that God wanted for me. And so I prayed, and I prayed some more for his will to be done in my life. I knew that I would be happy if I was in his will, no matter what it was. And so we began praying for that. And so it was through a lot of prayer that he revealed to me that it was missions that he wanted for us, for our lives. And so it would take another couple of years before we could actually do that, but we began moving towards that. And so I was a game warden for 7 years, and I call that my 7 years in the wilderness, because I wasn't ever supposed to be doing that anyway. And so I was not listening to the Holy Spirit. Well, in Acts 13 that we're going to be looking at today, we're going to take a look at the first Christian missionaries as they were set apart for work by the Holy Spirit, and then they were intentionally sent out to spread the good news. And so while we're all not appointed as foreign missionaries, all Christians are appointed for some kind of service in the body of Christ. And so we'll talk a little bit more about that. And we'll see that how when we try to serve the Lord, there's going to be opposition. And it's because we're in a spiritual battle, right? There's a war going on, and in a war, there's opposition. And so we're going to see that. So by now you found your place in Acts chapter 13. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 12. And if you're physically able, I would ask you to please stand in the honor of reading God's word. Chapter 13, verses 1 through 12. Now there were at Antioch in the church that was there prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. When they had reached Salamis, they began to proclaim the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they also had John as their helper. When they had gone through the whole island, as far as Paphos, they found a magician, a Jewish false prophet whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, a man of intelligence. This man summoned Barnabas and Saul, and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the magician, for so his name is translated, was opposing them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. But Saul, who was also known as Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, fixed his gaze on him and said, "You who are full of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord? Now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind and not see the sun for a time." And immediately a mist and darkness fell upon him, and he went about seeking those who would lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had happened, being amazed at the teaching of the Lord. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. Let's pray. Father, we praise you for the things that we have recorded in your word here for us to learn from, to take to heart, to get to know you better and how the kingdom is and how we should live. And Father, I just thank you for the gifts that you've given us to serve in your church. Father, I pray now that you would increase, that I would decrease, and Father, that you would open our eyes and hearts, speak to us through your Holy Spirit. Tell us what you want us to do for you, Lord. We love you and we praise you. Amen. Y'all may be seated. All right, so on Sunday evenings, we've been going through the book of Acts for a while and working our way through the book all the way from the beginning. It's been a real blessing for me to dig deeper into the Word of God, to find out the context of what's going on. You can stay with the storyline when you're preaching through like that. And so it really gives you a grasp of what's happening and what was happening back then. And so when we began back in chapter 1, we observed Jesus talking to his apostles, and he gave them what we here in the church call the Acts 1-8 Commission. So he gave them the Acts 1-8 Commission, and he told them that they would receive power when the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they would be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. And then in recent chapters, we looked at the Apostle Peter and that vision that he had, and God telling him that the gospel of Jesus was for everyone, not just for the Jews anymore. And so the door to worldwide evangelization has been open, and we've made it now to chapter 13. And so the mission to this remotest parts of the earth, this Acts 1-8 commission, is initiated. We're seeing this beginning to happen. And so y'all could call it Mission Impossible. And so we've been watching that as all the Mission Impossible movies at home. And so when I was studying for this, I actually had that tune in my head, that dun 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 dun. So you're welcome. Y'all have it now. All right. So you could call this Mission Impossible. And so until now, in Acts, Jerusalem and the Jewish people have been the center of attention. And so they've been the center of Christian ministry. And the Apostle Peter has been on stage. He's been in the spotlight so far in Acts here. And so if you think about it, the spread of the gospel has been solely due to persecution, right? As Christians were persecuted, they carried the gospel along with them as they scattered to different places. And so the spreading of the gospel has primarily been through that method. And so then Peter has that vision, and we see the gospel advancing to other people besides Jewish people. And then when we get here to Acts chapter 13, Jerusalem is no longer going to be the center of missions. It's going to be Antioch of Syria. And so Peter is no longer going to be in the spotlight. It's going to be Paul. Things are shifting right here in chapter 13. And so the spread of the gospel is now going to be an intentional effort. It's no longer just a byproduct of persecution as people are spread out. And so it's going to work its way across the world. So let's begin making our way through this little bit of scripture together this morning. And as we do, there's a few things that I want us to see. First, I would like for us to see that the church is a diverse group. All right, that's God's plan, right? It's no accident that the church is diverse. It was God's plan from the beginning to be that way. He's wanting to fill people from the whole world, all right, from every tribe, every tongue. Why do you think he gave us the commission to go across the world, right, to do that? Because he wants the church to be a diverse place. Yes, the Jews were God's chosen people. They were chosen to receive his word and to be a way for the Messiah to come into the world. And then they were to share that with all people, right? All the people of the world. And so that all people might be saved. Because God likes diversity. We see that in the first verse that we read this morning. Now there were at Antioch in the church that was there prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. All right, so you want to talk about a melting pot of different people already in verse 1 here. And if you were here on the Sunday night when we talked about Antioch of Syria, then you remember that Antioch of Syria was a very large city. It was the third largest city in the Roman Empire at that time, only to be surpassed by Rome and Alexandria. And so there was a lot of people there. It was a blend of culture and a blend of religion. People from all over merged there together at Antioch of Syria. And so while the church there that's at Antioch is just as blended, just as multicultural as the city itself, you have Barnabas, who's from Cyprus. That's an island in the northeast Mediterranean, and that's where they're going to be headed back to on their first missionary journey there to start with. And then there was Simeon, called Niger. That's a Latin name that means black. He was probably from Africa. And so then you have Lucius, who was from Cyrene. That's North Africa. So you have another guy there from Africa. Then you have Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. Obviously, he's somebody in the social community. If he's brought up with Herod, that's the governor, basically, of the area. So he's brought up with him. They're friends. And so then you have Saul from Tarsus. And so now that's not the whole church. That's just a representation of the leaders there. And it's already a diverse group. And so this is not coincidental. This is God's plan. He wants the church to be a diverse group. It's his plan from the beginning that the church be filled with people from the whole world. The Christian church has no distinction of ethnicity, no distinction of social class. It shouldn't anyway. The only distinction that should be is if you're alive and if you want to follow Jesus. Amen? That's the way the church should be. And so there's different views on who all can be saved. But personally, I believe that the Bible says whosoever will believe in him can be saved. And so there's no social or ethnic requirement. And 2 Peter 3:9, it says, "The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." And the last time I checked, that all still means all. And so when we were living in South Georgia and attending church down there, someone began running a little bus ministry like we do on Wednesday nights. And so we had a regular Wednesday night supper down there that had been going on forever at that church. And somebody began running the buses, and they went around to some of the neighborhoods and began bringing kids. And some of the black kids came along. That was a good thing. But they kept running the bus, and more kids came along. More and more of those black kids came along. And so it looked to me and a few other folks like a great opportunity to plant seeds of the gospel in their lives and eventually maybe see some of them come to the Lord. But there were some in the church who were being not used of the Holy Spirit. They were being used by the unholy spirit. And they put their foot down and said, "There's just too much noise going on. We can't enjoy our Wednesday night supper. Too much running around. We can't do it." You know, the truth is, and I know the truth because the ringleader of this told me the truth, they didn't want those black kids around their kids. That was the whole truth of that. And so they put so much of a ruckus in the church that the Wednesday night suppers were stopped altogether. Wednesday night suppers had been going on for a long time. They stopped it all just so they'd stop that bus ministry and from going around and getting those kids. And so that made me mad. I was mad. That was a tragedy. I'm telling you, that was a big tragedy in the church there. And so a while later, we were having a VBS, and I got the bus, and I was going around telling kids about it in the neighborhoods and trying to round up some VBS kids. And so I ran into some of those kids, and I recognized some of them, and I invited them to come to Vacation Bible School. And one of the boys looked at me and said, are you talking about that white church? How would you like to be standing before the Lord having to give an account for that? So what's the song that we sing to kids, right, in Sunday school or children's church? It's red, yellow, black, and white, right? They are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. And so right now within our local Baptist Association, there's a few churches, Pleasant Grove included, that we're cooperating together to try and reach a lot of the Hispanic population here. And because we have a lot of Hispanics here in North Georgia. And so that's not a bad thing. And so I'm thankful for the people here at Pleasant Grove who are putting forth the effort, who have the heart of Christ and the wisdom to know that the gospel is for everybody. It's for all people, right? And so a mission-oriented church has no concern over race or culture or social standing. All it should have concern over is spreading the gospel message and winning people to Jesus. And so another way that the church at Antioch, though, in our scripture here, another way that they were diverse was in spiritual gifting, which leads me to my next point. The work of the church is appointed by the Holy Spirit. When we think about spiritual gifts that enable the work of the church and enable missions around the world or anything really concerning Christ's church, we need to remember that it's all from the Lord. All of those gifts are from the Lord. They're from the Holy Spirit. And all of the equipping, all of the gifting. Verse 2, I don't have a slide for it, but verse 2 of today's text says, while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. All right? They weren't called by a missions committee or a church council or something like that. They were called by the Holy Spirit to do this, to be set apart for missions work. Let me tell you something. If a pastor or a missionary is not called and gifted by God Himself, you don't want them as a pastor or a missionary. I'm just going to tell you that right now because that's just a disaster waiting to happen. And so many of you have heard Pastor Dan's testimony before of how he knew from a very young age that God had placed the calling of being a pastor on his life. And so let me tell you what that's like. You want to know what that calling is like? It wasn't placed on me early in life, but it was placed on me later in life. I'll tell you what it's like from my story. I've told you that there's been times in my life where I didn't hear from the Holy Spirit and times when I did and how it's based on my obedience. But when I knew that God was still calling me to something different besides being a game warden, I began seeking what that was and I was praying about it more and more. And I'll tell you how I know that that calling was on my life. He wouldn't leave me alone. The Holy Spirit wouldn't leave me alone. I tried to ignore Him, all right? I tried for 7 years almost to ignore Him. And He wouldn't leave me alone. He's relentless. And so He wouldn't leave me alone until I was on my knees trying to get into His will. All right? It was always in my head. You know why? Because it's appointed to me. It was appointed to me by the Holy Spirit to do that. You know, it's been said that if a pastor can be happy doing something else besides being a pastor, then he should just go and do that because he doesn't have the calling of God on his life. And I believe that because it's true, really. You know, I enjoyed being a game warden. I did. I really liked the job. I'm an outdoors guy. I like being on the lake, and I like being in the woods and talking to good old boys and stuff like that. But I couldn't be happy. I couldn't be happy because the Lord was always telling me, you know you're not supposed to be doing this. And so that's what the calling is like on your life. All right, so He's there. He's there on the inside. Y'all know that, right? When you get born again, that the Holy Spirit comes to, your body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit at that time. If you're really a born-again believer, then you have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you as a guide, as a helper. And then you've been gifted in some way. You have. Not everybody's called to be a preacher or a missionary. Chances are you're probably not called to be a preacher or a missionary, but you've been gifted in some way. And so the question that we need to ask ourselves is how? How are we gifted? How are we serving God's church or the body of Christ like that? And so everything that you read in the Bible points towards all Christians serving. There's no such thing as a consumer Christian is what it's called, somebody who just comes and sits in a pew and then goes home. There's no such thing as that in the Bible, all right? All Christians, if you're a born-again believer, you're called to serve. The Great Commission is not an option. It wasn't given as an option. All right, so I don't want you to raise your hand. I'm not one of them kind of preachers, but I'm going to ask you a question. And I want you to think about it seriously. Are you saved? All right. Are you born again? Because if you are, you've been gifted in some way to serve the body of Christ. I want you to think about that. A while ago when I said that, some of you looked surprised, so I'm going to say it again. If you're a born-again believer, you've been gifted in some way to serve the body of Christ. What are you doing with that? Chances are it's not to be a pastor or a missionary, but it's something. You can be sure of that. God's word don't tell any lies. And so the purpose of spiritual gifts is to promote the common good. It's for the body of Christ, to build up the church. That's why they're given. The body needs all of its parts in order to thrive. In Ephesians 4, 8 through 12, it says, "Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men." Now this expression, "he ascended," what does it mean except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. And he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. All right, so if you're born again, then you're a saint. That's what the Bible says. And fellas, that's good news that it's not based on your wife's approval. It's based on the Bible, all right? If you're born again, the Bible says that you're a saint. And the scripture says that the pastors and the teachers and the evangelists and the prophets and all this is for the equipping of the saints for the work of service. It doesn't say equipping of the saints for the coming and being a consumer. And so if you're a born again Christian, then you're a saint. Why do you think spiritual gifts are given? I mean, just think about that for a minute. Why do you think they're given? They're given for us to use them, right? That's why the Holy Spirit gives it to them. And so according, I read it's an outdated survey now. It was made in 2016. But I was reading a survey that said that 73% of Americans at that time claimed to be Christians. That was in 2016. It says, however, after applying scriptural tests to those claims, only around 31% actually qualified as a Christian. And that's an old study. I bet it's less than 31% now, probably, if I had to guess. And so, I'm just not suited for working, with that or this. Well, what are you suited for? Do you even know? What are your spiritual gifts? What has God gifted you, or what is he suiting you for? What's the Holy Spirit saying to you? What's the Holy Spirit saying to you? Or have you heard from him? There's been times where I didn't. I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, there's been times where I didn't, and it's because I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing. I was not being obedient. I was not making an intentional effort to hear from him. Think about that a little bit. I was just recently talking with a good friend of mine from South Georgia. We used to work out together back when I was in better shape than I am now. But he's a strong fella, too. He was always, he pushed me to do better. But anyway, I was talking with him about prayer and about hearing from the Lord and how the Bible tells us to constantly be in prayer. And verse 2 from this morning says, while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, that's when the Holy Spirit said to them, set apart for me, Barnabas and Saul. They were ministering to the Lord, fasting. In other words, they made a real effort to communicate with God. It wasn't just some passive Christianity. And so it's then that they heard. They made a real effort. We got so much stuff in our lives today. There's noise from every direction. We just got new phones. Anna dropped her phone and the screen went black. So it's time to get a couple new phones. And so I got me a new one too. So anyway, I haven't had Facebook on there for, I don't know, we've had those phones about 4 or 5 days now. You know what? That's been a blessing that that's not on there. I think I'm not going to put it on there, to be honest with you, because I haven't been focused on looking at that. And so we have so much noise from every direction these days, TV, social media, 15 spam calls a day about your car warranty, right? Or an email about some kind of lawsuit that you could be a part of. You know, there's so much stuff in our heads right now. But I haven't seen the Holy Spirit yet on there sending me a message on Facebook. If you're saved, then you're gifted and you're set apart for something. We need to get on our knees and figure out what that is, right? We're not going to find it on the internet. That's where we find it. It's on our knees. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each one of us has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. All right, again, everyone's not called to be a pastor. Everyone's not called to be a missionary or a teacher, but you've been gifted for something. You need to try to get on your knees and figure out what that is. All right, so y'all get it. Let's move on. If the work of the church is appointed by the Holy Spirit, that means that opposition will be on a spiritual level. And there will be opposition because we're in a war, and in war there's opposition. Let's look at verse 8. But Elymas the magician, for so his name is translated, was opposing them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. So here we see opposition in the first missionary journey of Paul. This guy, Elymas, was a Jewish sorcerer, a false prophet. He was also called Bar-Jesus. We see that in the scripture as well. And he was an attendant of the proconsul, basically a governor of the island of Cyprus there. And so this sorcerer had attached himself to a political entity. That made me wonder about our country. What in the world? Who they got whispering in their ear? And so the name Bar-Jesus means son of Joshua or son of the Savior. And the Bible says that he was a false prophet. And what he was a tool of spiritual warfare from the enemy, because we're in a spiritual war. There's no doubt about it. And the enemy has tricks up his sleeves. When Anna and I first went to Romania, we first went with a mission sending organization or agency. And then about 6 months after being there, this spiritual battle showed up. And I discovered that one of the influential people in the agency, along with a couple of local influential people in Romania, they were doing some shady stuff in the organization. And so they had found a way to profit off the backs of former missionaries. And I discovered what they were doing, and they were going to try that with us. And so it was clever, but it was shady, and it was not Christian, all right? And so it was not the whole agency. Let me clear that up. It was just one guy. The rest of the folks loved the Lord and were trying to serve the Lord. All right, so don't start thinking they're all bad. But anyway, I did what I felt like the Lord wanted me to do. I called him out on it, and I called those guys out on it. And what I did was open up a big can of worms is what I did. And so Anna's nicknamed me the can opener. but anyway, I think that's part of the reason, not all of the reason, but part of the reason the Lord brought us to Romania. I think it was because I saw what they were doing, and I just wasn't going to let it happen. I was a very fresh missionary on the field, and here I was telling three influential men that they were corrupt. And so you can imagine how that went over. That's when the battle really began. And so before it was over, I was told to go home, turn my visa in to the police, and go home back to America. And I told them that if the police wanted my visa, they knew where to find me. And I wasn't going anywhere. And so we contacted our church back home in South Georgia. And so later I was able to meet face-to-face with the pastor and the deacons of the church, tell them everything that was going on, and they all agreed that was some crooked stuff that was happening. And so at that point, they all got together with the church, and the church became our sending agency. And they were doing everything that agency was doing. Right from the local church. And we stayed there for 4 more years in Romania until our visas expired. We never turned them in. They expired. And so that's when we came home to work here at Pleasant Grove, serve here at Pleasant Grove. It's a war. It's a spiritual war that's happening. And the enemy doesn't want the gospel spread. He hates us because he hates Jesus. That's what the Bible tells us. And it's true. This guy, Elymas, was opposing Barnabas and Saul, trying to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Then Paul steps in with the power of the Holy Spirit, the old Holy Spirit 1-2. He fixes his gaze on him and he says, "You who are full of deceit, all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil." How would you like to be called that? "You enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord?" I'm going to have to memorize that one. I'm going to keep that tucked away there for next time if it ever happens again. And so anyway, the name Bar-Jesus is funny. It really is funny. The name Bar-Jesus means son of the Savior. Paul calls him son of the devil. He takes his name and turns it right around there. Well, immediately, Elymas was afflicted with this blindness that we read about in here. And he begins groping around for someone to guide him, which was enough for the governor, for the proconsul, to believe. He became a believer. If you go back and you study that and you read the word where it says believe, it's the same word as when people become born-again Christian, become believers. And so he became a believer. The Holy Spirit overcame that stumbling block that the enemy had put there in Elymas. But what I want us to see is that there was a stumbling block there. The enemy had a stumbling block and an attempt to squash the spreading of the gospel, an attempt to stop this proconsul from hearing the gospel. Because it's a war, right? And in a war, there's what? Opposition. There's going to be opposition in a war. That's something we should expect as Christians. In a spiritual war, we should expect opposition. And so, but God is able, right? In this account here, this blindness of Elymas was actually a springboard for the governor to believe. All that happened caused the governor to believe. God's in control. He can turn around. He can make crooked ways straight again. All right, so in chapter 13 that we got here, the Acts 1:8 mission or commission is in motion. We see that. And it still is, all right? It's still in motion, church. It hasn't been taken away. Until Christ returns, we have this same commission to spread the gospel to the ends of the earth, to all nations. That means every place, every ethnicity, every social class. Red, yellow, black, or white, right? They're all precious in His sight. We have the responsibility to take that gospel to them. We have to do our part. The church is a diverse group. I mean, there's folks, not everybody here is from LJ, right? This is a diverse group. When you think about the church in general, Christ's church, it's really diverse. I don't know how many are left that there's not a church in nationwide. And so it's getting closer and closer every day. And so God's planned it that way. He planned for us to be a diverse church and for us to be involved in it. He's gifted us spiritually to be involved in it. He's appointed some of us to be involved in it. However, we don't need to forget that we're in a war, right? We're in a spiritual war. What do soldiers do? They're in a war. They get up each day and they armor up, right? Grab their weapon. Our weapon's the sword of the Spirit. It's the word of God. Amen? We need to get up and put on our armor. The enemy wants to prevent us from spreading the gospel. He's going to put those stumbling blocks out there any way that he can. We need to get on our knees, get in the power of the Holy Spirit, find out his will, put our armor on, grab up our sword, and just be ready for battle. On our knees is where we're going to find that, all right? That's the only place to find that. We're going to have an invitation hymn today. I didn't give y'all much of a warning for that. But as it plays, I want to ask you this question again, and I want you to think about it. Are you saved? Are you born again? Are you a born-again believer? Are you saved from your sins? And so, if not, you can be, all right? The Bible says that it's for whosoever. It's not for a particular group or social class. Really, are you saved? If you're not, you can be. It's not for certain people. The door is wide open now. It's not just for the Jewish people anymore. It's for us. It's for red, yellow, black, and white. Have you heard from the Holy Spirit lately? That's another question. Honestly answer that in your mind. Do you have any direction from the Holy Spirit in your life? If not, maybe you need to get back on your knees. We've all been gifted for service somewhere.